Attention, spoilers are beginning now.
Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have with me your two other hostesses, Hanako.
Hello.
And Stephanie.
Hi there. Nini.
Nini in the house. And today we are discussing Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Oh, that tickled me for some reason. And so, fresh off of the film 2017, of course, we have Gal Gadot. That's right, folks. It's Gadot, not Godot.
Yeah.
showing us how it's done for superheroes. In the DC universe because they've been sucking and finally they suck less. Sorry, DC fans. Not sorry. So today it is just the girls, mainly because, hey, why not? We're doing it. We don't have to explain anything. And we're just going to talk about let's go with feelings and then just discuss, pick the movie apart. I guess I'll start it off. The reason why I wanted to talk to my two special hostesses, because, you know, sometimes just want to hear my girls and their opinions, you know, before we get the guys in and we got to hear about the sexiness and the beauty and blah, 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 blah. I just want to hear, you know, what the girls have to say.
So does that mean we can't talk about the sexiness and the beauty?
No, we can talk about that,
oh,
but
okay.
It's just from our perspective. And,
okay. You know, the right one.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, the logical one. that's just all we're being us. So, I went into the film not really knowing anything about it. What I did know is when I saw Gal that I was not, irritated by her. And I'm not going to dump on the woman who played or was going to play Wonder Woman in the TV show, whatever, and I forgot her name. But there was going to be a WB TV show with Wonder Woman, and it was incredibly disappointing, the first looks. It was bad. And I feel like they've been trying to do Wonder Woman for quite some time, but they just couldn't get it right. And for whatever reason, the stars aligned, we got this film, and I had no expectations. I didn't know what it was going to be about. I didn't expect to cry the entire film for whatever reason. I don't know. It was irritating. But, you know, I've been a fan of Wonder Woman since I was a little girl. I've always looked at her. She was always fun to me. She was always beautiful, sexy, fun, fierce, strong. And, you know, it was just kind of cool on whatever level just to see another girl kicking butt. Not that you need to kick butt all the times, but, you know, when butt needs to be kicked, let's do it.
Right.
With tight underwear on, you know? Why not? Let's kick butt and be beautiful. And so I saw this film, and I know why I was so, I didn't expect to be so emotional, because it's just, I expect to have fun, but I didn't expect to feel how I think I related to this Wonder Woman, because she was just I'm going to get some flack maybe from Stephanie, but to me, she just felt like a person, and she felt like me if I were to be a superhero. I'm not trying to, you know, I don't need to be an ice queen. I don't need to be overly masculine in order to prove I'm tough. I don't need to, you know, overly use my feminine wiles. So you just, like, as a person growing up, you just kind of had, it was just a strong innocence that I really appreciate it. So, Stephanie, jump on in there. Tell me what you were feeling.
Sorry.
It's quite okay.
You hit the nail on the head there. There was this innocence and there was this perfect kind of moment there to really grow the character so that she didn't have anything really to prove. She was just experienced taking the world in. She was completely naive in taking the world in so that her character had somewhere to go. By the end of the movie, she wasn't just instantly amazing at everything all at once. And, you know, this, like you said, this stone cold hard ass, like that's not who she was at the start. And because she had that emotion and heart, I think that was a great balance overall to who she was, who she is as a superhero and who she grew into. That was present throughout the whole movie. I have to have a caveat here and say, you know what, I love the Marvel movies. I'm seen some of the DC movies. I don't really have this huge stake in it. Like, I want the DC movies to, you know, start profiting like the Marvel movies. But probably because I really haven't been just steeped in this comic universe for as long as all of my friends on this show, but you know, what I do like about this movie is that it apparently happens so much before the Justice League that I didn't need to be well versed in that kind of thing. Like, when I've tried to get into X-Men movies, when I've tried to get into other comic book to screen movies, I've had a hard time being somebody who wasn't kind of immersed in that as a child to catch up. And this movie, I didn't have to catch up. It actually felt for me like it felt the first time when I saw Superman, the one from the 70s. No. So I'm watching Christopher Reeve as Superman, and he's this innocent character, this like just remove pretty much any kind of hatefulness and spite and, you know, connivance. And you just have this true blue person who is needed at the time as a superhero. Well, that's who Wonder Woman was to me in this movie. She was like, very much like Superman was to me as a child, kind of somebody to aspire toward, knowing full well that over time, maybe they would be jaded. But this part of them being a superhero is that they, of course, never become jaded. They're always optimistic. They're always hopeful. And they save the day. Anyway, that was my overall impression of her innocence as a character. I felt like, yes, thank you so much. Thank you for not making this be a statement about how women can be superheroes, too. There was this amazing balance here that I didn't quite see it as my male counterparts did, where they're like, oh, good, I wasn't bashed over the head with feminism. Instead, I saw it as, oh, good. What they did was show that a woman could be a compelling superhero all on her own without anything really to prove. That was how I took it.
Yeah, yeah. Hanukkah?
I agree with both of what you guys said. I think for me, instead of using the word innocence, her demeanor for me came across as pure, you know, not necessarily just naivete or just not knowing what the world was about. I mean, we have to think about it. The origin story that we were given in this film is that she grew up on a secluded island where, you know, basically she did not know violence. She did not know the ways of modern man or man as we are now. So she grew up the only child on Themyscira. She was loved. She was adored. She was protected. So, you know, she did have that pureness about her. And, you know, also at the same time, even with that pureness, I think there was a sense of trying to belong because she knew that there was something different about her, even though she didn't know what. And, you know, we come to find out later on that there is something majorly different about her. And there's a reason why her mother basically had her raised the way that she did. But even through all of that, Diana's curiosity about the world and about, you know, just wanting to really fit in with her people, not necessarily because she was trying to prove anything, but just because she wanted to belong. She wanted to be equal to everyone else. You know, that's something that I liked about her character. It wasn't a you know, damsel in distress rising to superhero status that we see so much with feminine heroes. She, like, there was the first time we see her really kind of use her powers is when she's training and her aunt is pushing her. And she releases this power, and it's almost like once she releases that power, that's when all the bad things start happening, because it's kind of like now you're announcing to the world that this powerful being is here. But instead of hiding from that, you know, as the other Amazonians tried to do with her, you know, tried to just kind of push her to the side and, you know, I guess push her into the shadows so that she wouldn't emerge the way that she did. She wanted to, you know, she was still trying to do what was right based on what she was taught. You know, once Steve Trevor kind of enters her atmosphere, she noticed there's something different. And then once the island is invaded and there's man, it's like she's confused. But at the same time, she's still out there trying to help, not necessarily because she has to prove anything, but, you know, her whole world is being shattered and she just wants to make things right. And that's basically her whole thread throughout the whole film. It was never about proving who she was. It was always about doing what was right for people. And that's something that, you know, she had no ulterior motives. Like, her motives were pure. She just wanted to help people. That's all she was raised to do. And that's what she felt like. That was her purpose in life, was to help people who couldn't help themselves. And that's all we saw throughout the whole film.
Absolutely. You know?
And it was very refreshing to see. It wasn't something that where she had to have someone protect her. I mean, it actually ended up being role reversal. She was the one protecting everybody, even the men. And like you said, it wasn't done in an overly, oh, yes, I am woman, hear me roar type thing. But it was very subtle. But it was very direct, and it just kind of flowed naturally, which is what it should have done, you know?
Right. I'm, you know, my job is a male-dominated field, but I come into work every day, do my job. I don't have everybody go, wow, you do such a great job for a woman. You know, like, that's kind of how this felt. It felt like you said, Hanako, she didn't fall in love with Steve Trevor right away and that's why she went off to save his world. No, she had people encroaching upon her territory, and it was kind of her duty to save her turf. And that was cool to me. And then because she's such a good person and because she recognizes that she has this superior power to others, you know, she's like, okay, cool, I'm gonna use my powers for good, and I'm not going to hide. My favorite part is when she sees that contrast between Steve's character and then the Germans. You know, it's like this war encroaching, and then there's this contrast of Steve, who is amazing. Chris Pine as Steve Trevor was amazing.
Oh my God.
I love Chris Pine. I love him.
Was like, please marry me and have my children, please.
You want him to have the children, don't you?
Well, yeah, the feminist way.
I gotta say here with Chris Pine that I liked him more here than as Captain Kirk, and that makes me feel some type of way. I don't know what, but I don't know. Maybe it's
I don't know. He actually had room to grow. Don't you think? Like, he wasn't a cliche, which is really strange.
Yes.
It's like that, especially something that's like ultimately a period piece. You could totally fall into a cliche and have a fairly decent superhero movie. But instead,
not only that, but his character, even once he realizes the scope of Diana's power, he never feels threatened by her.
Yes.
Like, he doesn't go for all this, you know, all this you know, just overly macho. Oh, no, I'm the man. You're the one. His whole thing is, okay, we both have the same goal. We both want to save the world. But, of course, with him being, you know, a product of this world, he knows the in and outs. He knows the workings of how government works and how war works and how people work in a way that Diana has never experienced. And again, her whole thing was just, okay, we go to war. She was so focused on her one goal of getting to Ares that she couldn't see the alternatives or the other paths that she would need to take in order to meet her goal, whereas he did. And instead of telling her that she didn't know what she was talking about or whatever,
mansplaining,
he just, you know,
mansplaining,
right? But I mean, even during the times when he really didn't believe what she was saying, he was just kind of like, okay, well, we're gonna go with that for now. But this is how we have to get to here, and then we'll go, you know, handle your thing. You know, he wasn't putting her down. He wasn't making her needs or her desires as far as, you know, saving the world. He didn't belittle her, you know.
No, timing is awesome.
Yes, the comic timing is funny because I read somewhere that whole scene in the boat where they were talking about the books, mm-hmm. that whole scene was improvised.
Oh my gosh, I had no idea. That's awesome.
Yeah, so
that was,
you know, but yes,
so cute.
I mean, and just the chemistry between the two of them, the way that they played the characters is like, you know, you've got one person who's just human and all he's trying to do is save the world, and you've got this other person who has, you know, otherworldly powers, and she has the same goal. And, you know, just kind of through the course of the movie, you just kind of see them slowly drifting to where they meet each other on an even playing field. You know, it's like his strengths are, you know, his strengths cover her weaknesses, meaning, you know, her lack of experience in the world and her lack of knowing what's going on in the world and the way that the world works. And then, you know, vice versa, her strengths, you know, they balance out his weaknesses. It's like they balanced each other out, and they did it in a way that was complementary to both and not necessarily taking away from what the other has to offer. And that's,
you know,
what I liked about this movie,
you know,
because
what
it was so, so balanced.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, Hanako, you said something that really stuck with me or stood out to me. And it was that he didn't feel threatened by her. And there's a lot of guys that feel, not all, you know, not all guys, right? We have to say that, but there are a lot of them, and they don't even know that they're doing that, and this unconscious thing that happens, and then the machoism comes in or the belittling and things like that. And because they're guys, they don't see it, but to me in this film, looking at it, it was very obvious that, you know, they were trying to make that statement that, you know, just because, you know, a woman happens to be strong in one area doesn't make you weak in another. And that to me spoke to me the most in this film, because it's just supposed to be, that's how it's supposed to be. You know, it's just supposed to be not, you're the woman, you do this, you're the man, you do that, blah, 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 blah. Nobody needs to hear any of that. You just are. You know, and that was my favorite part of the film that spoke to me the most.
And it was emotional. This movie on the whole for me was an emotional movie. I actually cried. I was not expecting to cry.
I told you,
at all. And I was like, why am I shedding tears right now? It's because they spent a decent amount of time at the beginning of the movie developing the characters, and they spent, I'm sure some people are kind of annoyed at the pacing at the beginning, but I loved it. I loved the pacing at the beginning.
What was wrong with the pacing?
I have heard no.
There wasn't enough action
whatsoever about this film.
I have,
which is really,
and it was
really,
it was for mostly men.
Yep.
Yeah. And
wow,
and men. Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah.
I got. It was okay.
No, I mean, through my timeline, and I have some really, 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 really critical people on my timeline who, you know, who tend to pick apart certain movies. When I tell you, I have not really seen anything negative about it. I mean, I've seen maybe one or two people who are like, okay, I wouldn't put it up there with, you know, as the best superhero movie, but it was good. And that's probably the most negative thing that I've heard. And that's not even really negative.
No, it's not.
Yeah, I didn't have people rip it apart. But what I did have was, there could have been more action sequences. She was great. She was a great person as an action hero, but who knows? I mean, that could have been a body double, who knows, or something like that. Like,
oh my god.
Yeah, or or, oh well,
because she's not awesome enough on her own to do whatever. Okay, you know
right.
what?
But then what I don't want to get the trap that I don't want people to understand is that we don't like it just because she is a woman. We like it because it was good and she just
it was good and she embodied the character. I mean,
it was Wonder Woman perfection.
Well, and I keep paralleling this to Superman, who's a dude, you know, one of my very first kind of introductions into this world was through Christopher Reeve's Superman, and there are a lot of parallels here. So that seems to me to transcend gender, that kind of spirit that people have, that true, pure spirit wanting to just do what's right. That doesn't seem to be gender specific.
Yeah.
But what I got actually from a lot of dudes was, yeah, it was really good. I was so happy that they didn't, you know, hit me over the head with a bunch of feminism and this, that, and the other. And, you know, part of that was insulting, but part of it was kind of...
I'm so glad I didn't have anybody who said something like
that. Well, they didn't even realize how condescending that was, because... And I'll tell you, here's a perfect example of that. You know where Steve's like, this is no man's land, that which means no man can cross it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she could have turned and said, well, I'm no man. You know, like, she could have done something. I'm a woman.
Right.
Like, she could have done that. She
I'm super not. Sure somebody wanted that in the film.
But you know what? It wasn't needed. That's the great thing about the way that the movie flows. Yeah, it wasn't needed.
That is
she just looked at him and she's like, okay, this is the right thing to do. She didn't care about the fact that it, you know...
Right.
That was the whole point of the film. It wasn't just about her being a woman. It was just about her saving the world. That's it. That's all she cared about.
She could have fallen into that trap, though, and she didn't. Honestly, I mean, we've seen it in other female superhero leads in failed attempts in the past, where they've absolutely played on that kind of stuff and the sex appeal and this, that, and the other. This movie, what I think is the crux of that movie is balance. You've got a collaborative leader. She realizes she isn't the 100% perfect person. She doesn't bark orders. She's a strong leader, but she's collaborative and she has a heart and she uses her mind and she learns and she grows and she becomes, you know, somebody that we can all aspire to be. Everybody, regardless of whether or not you have a vagina, this is awesome to me.
I know.
I feel like, you know, maybe it wasn't my favorite, most perfect movie in the world, but I really came out of that movie as somebody who has very limited experience with Wonder Woman. I used to watch the TV show with my dad.
Yeah.
That's my experience.
And then, like, do you even remember any episodes? No, but you remember how it made you feel, and it made you feel awesome. And then...
This movie, I felt like I didn't have to know all of her origin story. I didn't have to know all of that stuff, all of the stuff that happens after it. I guess there was some sort of nod that I missed. My friend had to tell me that, yeah, they did kind of tie it into other people. I don't know that any of that. I still enjoyed the movie. It was amazing. And I feel like I have a strong grasp now of Wonder Woman, who she is and where she's headed. So that's all really that you can ask for as a moviegoer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about the Amazon Island Themyscira, right? Is that how you pronounce it?
Themyscira.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I really enjoyed that. I thought it would be some weird Island of Lesbos cliche, I don't know what. And it wasn't. It wasn't offensive, and it was quite strong. And there was, it reminded me of Xena in a way, sort of. It reminded me of Thor's homeworld. And
yes, Asgard. That was how I thought of it.
Yeah, and it, I liked that they did not play heavy on the lesbian lovers or whatever, you know, the whole cliche of it all. I just like that. Mm-hmm. It just felt like they were a family, a people living there, and it, oh, there's no men here, nobody noticed that, you know what I mean? And right. it kind of felt that way to me. And I love how the action scenes were flawless. Claire from freaking House of Cards.
Let's talk about Robin Wright.
Robin Wright.
Oh my God.
Let me tell you
something. When I saw her on the screen, first of all, I completely forgot that she was going to be in the movie. So when I saw her on the screen and I'm looking at her, I'm like, who is this person? And I happened to glance at her face. And I said, oh my God, is that Robin Wright? And my girlfriend who was with me, she was like, who is that? You know, she said, I know characters. I don't know people by their, you know, by their real names, which, you know, a lot of people do. I said, Jenny from Forrest Gump. And she went, oh my God, are you serious? And it's like, from that point on, we were both so hyped because, you know, I've seen her in different roles over the last who knows how many years. But oh my God, this role here, and it's like, there's a meme that went around on Facebook because there were a lot of memes that you know, kind of made their way around. And it was one that I really loved, and it was one of her as Princess Buttercup and one as Carrie Fisher as Princess Leia. And then it had them in their, you know, their last roles as generals, and it says, I've now grown up to see my childhood princesses become generals. And I was like, amazing is that?
Oh, my God.
How amazing. It's just so amazing that this generation of girls will grow up and it's not always about princesses and frilly dresses and being the damsel in distress or searching for Prince Charming. It's you know, it's about equality. And it, like I said, again, it flowed so well into the movie. It was just kind of mm-hmm. like, oh, this person's a general and she's teaching other, you know, women to whoop each other's asses and do great things. And it was amazing. And the fact that the Amazonian women, the people that they cast as the Amazons were all athletes, you know, women athletes.
Mm-hmm. It was, and they weren't like size triple E cups and all this, like,
right. And they weren't all, you know, like the fact that they were able to get women. It's like you said, it's not that we're knocking anybody, but you know how it is with the stereotypes. When you see a woman athlete, you know, they always have to be like the big, you know, 7 foot tall, you know, kind of more muscular. And it was nice for them to say, hey, you know what? Women are just women and they can be athletes and they can whoop ass and they can do this too. It doesn't have to be. It was just nice not to see stereotypes. You get what I'm saying? There was a very diverse group of women on the island. I'm so glad that, you know, it's just, I feel kind of like the themes that we see in this movie reflects what we should be seeing in the world today. Like the fact that this movie was so great about showing Diana's power and her, you know, her heroineness, whatever you want to call it, without it being overstated or without it being a big thing. it feels like that's what the world is supposed to be like. We shouldn't be amazed that she's a woman and she can do these things. Or just like with, you know, some of the TV shows that we watch
Scully,
now, like they
Samantha Carter, you know, right. Those women, they were all so strong. And it was, and I don't know, I felt like I grew up with Scully, Samantha Carter, and all these strong women. And to me, being smart and doing stuff and getting an education just was no big deal. And it seemed like we kind of regressed a little bit.
Well, even with those characters, like, and it's funny you mentioned Samantha Carter, because I actually, a couple of days ago, I started rewatching SG-1 from the beginning just because I hadn't seen it in so long. And even with the first episode where we're introduced to Sam Carter, there has to be that, you know, there's that little back and forth between her and O'Neill, because, she's a woman trying to prove herself in a man's world. And it's like, even though we have these strong characters, that's always the common thread. Them having to prove themselves in a man's world.
After a while, though, I have to give them credit for dispensing with it.
Yeah, and I understand that. But my point being, we didn't have any of that in this movie.
Yeah.
Because the need, it's almost like, you know, Steve was, you know, naturally as a gentleman, when they were attacked in the alley, just as a gentleman would do, just as men were taught to do, even in that time, it's always, okay, the man will put himself in front of the female for danger. And then when he saw that she could defend herself, he was just like, oh, maybe not. And then they both just started fighting. And after that happened, he didn't look at her like, oh, well, I didn't know you could do... it was just kind of like, oh,
this
okay,
is natural.
Well, onto the next thing. Yes, and that's how it should be.
Yeah, so I was going to say...
I love that.
I was going to say that, yeah, I had Scully growing up too. And, you know, Veronica Mars and all. I had these people growing up that, you know, kind of made me feel like, oh, well, that speaks to me and who I am as a person and what I like. But then I also had this kind of other life where I played a lot of role-playing games. I played a lot of role-playing games as dudes, specifically dwarves. Like, not ladies. Because, you know, you'd look at your options and you'd have, like, perfectly normal-looking dudes. And then you'd have these, like, people, if they were in real life, they couldn't even stand upright with the amount of cleavage and boobs that they had. Like,
I resemble that statement.
I just couldn't, you know, I'm like, this is not me. Why does she have to have, like, a triangle of clothing on, and, you know, you're expected to imagine yourself going to battle like that, and you're like, nope, I'm just gonna be this old dwarf dude with an axe. That's who I'm going to be. And it's kind of annoying, you know, this that fantasy took so long to kind of catch up there, where you had more realistic looking women that you could actually identify with as a character. And for me, it's nice to see that evolution over time, because now, you know, the kids in my life, they all just, it's second nature to them. They don't even care. They don't have to go, well, I don't really see anybody who represents anybody that I could be as a character, so I'm just going to play this ugly dude. You know? They get to be whoever they want to be, and it's no big deal, and they're, you know, there are all sorts of shapes and sizes represented now in fantasy, which is nice. And I think that rung true in Wonder Woman. Like, she wasn't over the top. You know, she was just not all tits and ass, you know, and she had a brain, and she had a badass superhero costume.
So I want to talk about, I have a thing that I want to say about Robin Wright specifically, and it has to do not only with being a woman, but it has to kind of do with ageism. I did not expect to see a woman. Well, you know, she's older, right?
Right.
You know, like, she's not a person that you'd expect to be in a flimsy costume. Like, you know what I mean? She's just like, usually when an actress get maybe her age, they want to throw her away. You know, like she's not good anymore because she's old. Here,
right.
They showed everything. She had wrinkles. She was kind of grizzled, but beautiful. And she was just her. And it was amazing just to see
she's her. Beautiful.
Right, it was. Right. I mean, and I'm not saying she looks like an old person. That's not what I'm saying either. I'm
just she saying, doesn't you look know like she's not fake.
Right. She doesn't surgeon, look fake. She looked real beautiful. Yes, it was real beauty. Oh,
and you know, real. They could have CGI'd her if they wanted to. And they didn't. Because this movie had a ton of CGI.
Oh my God.
But they didn't mess with her. She looked amazing and normal and healthy.
Right. And so, and then she looked strong and she wasn't, and even though they were all Amazon, it was just not stereotypical like Hanako said. And it's very important that if you're Amazon, they want you to be like a Herculean woman and with masculine attributes. And that's just not true all of the time. You know what I mean? And I really appreciated that it was like the battle in the movie 300, but with a bunch of women, and it was no big deal.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And it was no, it was just fine.
And as far really as her age, appreciate that. I hope I look that good, and I hope I'm that fit when I'm 51.
Child, please. She is outdoing me right now. You know what I mean? And I'm just right, like,
exactly.
She's killing it right now. But I just really appreciate that she was cast. And then Diana's mom too. She's not 20 years old either, and she's
Connie
beautiful.
Nielsen, yep.
Right, you know, and that really made me happier than seeing people of my same skin color was seeing women that were older. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because it's like they don't get thrown away just because they happen to be 50. You know?
Right.
So
that's good. I agree.
Yeah, so the bad guy Aries. So does any of you watch Fargo?
No.
Okay. So this is Hanako's territory we're getting into with Aries, right? Don't be giggling. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh my
Wait,
god.
What?
You know. I was in that, you know, I already knew he was in it. And then once they revealed, like, the true scope of his character, I was in the movie theater alternately dying with laughter, and I was shouting. I was so excited.
So he was Professor Lupin
in Harry Potter,
Stephanie.
Yes.
Remember?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. No, yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about now.
So he was a good guy. He was a good guy, right? In Harry Potter, right? He was a good guy. So I've been watching Fargo, and he is not a good guy. He's a horrible person. So when I saw him in Wonder Woman, I was like, okay, I'm seeing this guy in Fargo, and he is a terrible person. I don't trust him. I don't trust whatever's happening right now. I don't trust it. So he was playing the good guy, you know, towards the top of the movie. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess he's going to be a dynamic guy and just play good guy here.
I thought that until he walked into the bar and gave them, you know, was basically like, oh, yeah, I'll support your mission. Matter of fact, here, you can do this. Your secretary can work out of my office, and here's some money. I said, ah, yeah, something's not right about him.
What? That's what you tell. I was like, hey, that's a cool dude right there.
No, I was immediately suspicious. I was like, yeah, he's been a little too helpful, like, all of a sudden. It didn't sit right with me. I didn't realize that his character was going to become who his character became. That transition was awesome.
Okay, yeah, I didn't get it.
But, I was so excited to see him because, of course, anytime I can, and it's not, it wasn't even just him. As the movie is going, I'm sitting here like, oh, that's such and such. And like I said, my girlfriend, she's with me. She was like, how do you know all of these people? I was like, this is what
Nicole
I do.
Is
like,
I'm a professional TV movie watcher.
Right. So it's like, of course, you know, we see the general is in there. He was the Lord Commander of the Night's Watch. He was Jorah's father.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And then,
this means
of
nothing
course,
to me.
You watch Game of Thrones.
You don't watch Game of Thrones?
Yes, she does.
I do, but
Lord Commander that the Night's Watch betrayed, the one that they killed.
Okay.
The older guy who was the one who made Jon his steward.
Yes.
Okay. Stephanie's like, yes, that guy.
It's been a minute. I just have to say, people. Right.
And then,
sorry
of course,
that
Danny
I don't have.
Houston was in it, and you know, as far as our geek stuff, he was in. He was Stryker in X-Men, the Wolverine movies. He was like the middle-aged Stryker, not the young one we got in the later movies, and not the old one that we got in the first few movies. You know, he was there, and it was just, I'm just literally looking through this movie, and it's like when you hear the cast announcement at first, you kind of, you're excited about who's in it, and then it just kind of becomes about the movie and you forget who's in it until you see them on screen. And it was just kind of like, oh, okay, this is, yeah, it was like geek who's who. You know, for the film. But yeah. But David Thewlis, that was the one I was most excited about. Yes.
I was really surprised with Chris Pine, because I know, you know, him as Kirk. He's done a few films and they've been okay, but I've been kind of scared that he would like fade and not be anything other than Captain Kirk. And I wanted to see more from him. So to see what he did here in Wonder Woman was just fantastic. He's back on top with the Chrises. You know, the Hemsworth, okay, and the Pratt, you know, he's
never
back.
Went anywhere.
Well, no, to me, he was never my favorite Chris. You know what I mean? He was it's always Hemsworth or Eccleston or one of the other Chrises, but he's just was like, yeah, you know, he's one of the Chrises, but he's not the Chris. But right now he's on top of the Chris list. If we can make that a thing.
I think the Chrysalis.
I never knew I needed a Chrysalis in my life. But
well, you know what? I'm
going to
be stereotypical female, and I'm going to say there's a Chrysalis.
There is
totally
a
Chrysalis.
Yes, there is.
Okay.
But I've always liked him in everything he's done, because he's played characters like I liked him as characters that before I even knew who he was. Like, people get on me about this all the time, but Smoking Aces is like one of my favorite movies.
I don't know what that is.
And oh, you need to look it up. It's basically one of those all-star cast things. It's basically about a guy who betrays the mob, and all these people are out trying to take him out. So it's like Ben Affleck is in it, Ryan Reynolds is in it, Chris Pine is in it, Alicia Keys is in it, Taraji P. Henson is in it. It's a really fun movie, but it's kind of out there. But he plays one of three brothers in this film. And when you watch this film, you won't even know it's him until there's a shot, there's a scene where they have the camera directly in his face. And it's like, once you see those baby blues, you're like, oh my God, it's him. but before that, just go watch it. He's no, like amazing whatever, in this film. Yeah. It's hilarious. It really is hilarious.
Right,
I mean,
back to our girl.
But yeah, so I kind of like, you know, he's been funny in not necessarily funny in everything he's done, but you know, just he's one of those people who, for me, he's a great actor, and he makes his presence known in the film even when he's not the focus of it. You get what I'm saying? So that's one of the things I've always liked about Chris Pine since he's been on the scene. So I like him. He's on my Chris list.
Well, he's back.
I just like that he wasn't pigeonholed as a certain like character actor, kind of almost,
yeah,
where you see that happens sometimes. I really feel like he he outshined a lot of the other characters in this movie, just because, I don't know, his timing was amazing, and you know, he's a really good actor, and it was just refreshing to see that he wasn't over the top James T. Kirk once again.
No, he's actually really funny. If you ever if you haven't seen the movie This Means War that he did with Tom Hardy and Reese Witherspoon, that was a great movie, and he was very funny in that one. And
I then, haven't seen him in a ton of movies, but I have seen him a lot promoting the movies that he's in on Saturday Night Live.
I saw that.
He did
a song about
hilarious.
I'm Not That Chris or something.
Right, yeah. He's funny. He's funny as hell, which is really good to know.
And he was funny also in Into the Woods.
Yes. I have seen that. Okay, so can we talk about having to cry?
Wait, one more thing. Danny Houston, you mentioned Danny Houston, Hanako. Mm-hmm. I always get him confused with Ray Wise. You know Ray Wise from Twin Peaks?
Yes.
That one guy. Like, for some reason, those two are the same guy in my... Do you know who I'm talking about, Ray Wise?
Yes.
Stephanie? You'll know him if you see him. But anyway, I think that is funny to anybody who knows both actors.
Oh,
yeah.
He
does look like he's like maybe a younger,
they gotta at least younger. Be play cousins.
They look like, they look like they could be related. Yeah.
But okay, about the crying, I tried to explain the crying earlier on, but I don't think I was really good at it because I was going to cry again. So pardon that. But Stephanie, talk about the crying.
Oh no, I need Hanako to talk about the crying.
I thought you just brought up the crying.
I'm starting to cry.
I'm
getting emotional.
The funny thing is,
Hanako didn't cry.
I know, I did a little bit, but I didn't cry as much as I thought I would because I think more so for me, and you know, there were certain scenes where yes, I did get emotional, but I didn't cry because more than the emotion, certain scenes, I just felt so empowered. And it was like, really, I was like the No Man's Land scene where she's coming up out of the trench and she's just fighting. It's like, I teared up, but I had goosebumps on my arm and I was like literally gripping my seat like I wanted to get up and like shout for joy. I mean, that scene was so powerful for me that I think I was more caught up in experiencing the scene than I was in the emotion. But it's like once the scene was over, tears started falling. I was just like, oh my God, that was amazing. But it was like, it's like I had a delayed reaction to everything because when I got home and I started thinking about the movie, I started talking about the movie, that's when I got emotional. Like I started crying just discussing the movie. And I'm like, wait, is this a delayed reaction? Like what was going on? And I don't know, maybe I just had the adrenaline going through my system when she was, cause I'm literally sitting in my seat and bouncing in my seat. Like, yes, yes, yes. It was such a great moment. And I was just, I think I was just, I don't know. I was just so into the moment.
This is my favorite tweet, Stephanie, where they said this one, a lady said Meg Sauce at Meg Sauce. She said, no wonder white men are so obscenely confident all the time. I saw one woman hero movie and I'm ready to fight 1,000 dudes barehanded.
Yes.
I thought that was the best tweet I've ever seen ever because it's how many, I mean, guys are always seeing guys do heroic stuff or they always get stuff for them, but I felt it. Like, you sitting in your seat or whatever, you felt like you were her. You felt like you've been in those shoes before and nobody else could see it until they put it on this film and they showed people like, see, this is what I'm talking about. This is what my soul looks like. You know, I don't know.
Right.
Oh, but, yeah. My gosh. She just was so heroic. And it was like the right thing to do and... There was no ambiguity there. She was just brave and had a good heart. That was the be all end all. And I just totally cried. I was like, not only was there just it was just an amazing scene in general, just because of all of the bullets and her shield up and her lasso and oh my god, it was just like iconic, yet also wow, we're watching a woman do this. And she didn't have to say any cheesy line right before she went out.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Right.
The only cheesy thing is that towards the end when she was writing her little letter and she was just like, I wanted to fight because it was all about love. And I was just like, I'm going to let that slide. But
you know what? But the funny thing is, the way that I took it, I don't think it's like, I really don't think it was necessarily like the romantic love type thing.
I know it wasn't romantic love. I knew that's not what she meant, but it still had a little bit of cheese on it, but I let it go. I knew she did not mean romantic love. I know she meant love for humanity. And of course, maybe there was romantic love in there anyway, but it just had a tiny bit of canned cheese on it.
That's all right because they didn't go over
the top with any kind of love story, which was nice. I mean, obviously there was some love story there, but it didn't, for me, it wasn't like I think if they made it over the top, it would have been like a Disney movie, and that would have cheapened kind of her own strength and beauty on the inside and out.
Yeah. No, it was fine. It was just like, it was the one thing that I was just like, what is, okay.
You're like, I'm going to ignore that because I just cried through the rest of it.
and then it's like, and it's not to discredit every other woman that has done everything. Like, this doesn't make Black Widow any different or less or anything. I still think Black Widow is really a good character, and just because, they're different, they have different backgrounds, they're different things, and it doesn't make her, oh, all of a sudden she's a transparent character who's been oppressed by the man and blah, 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 blah. No, that's not where I want to go on that. And you just leave Black Widow alone for right now, and let's just independently talk about, you know, just the appreciation of Wonder Woman and how it felt right? I mean, you haven't seen it. You don't know what, you've maybe vaguely seen Wonder Woman when you were older. You know what Wonder Woman is. People know what it is. They know it when they see Wonder Woman. They know what she means. And they know, and this felt like it. And that was important to me. And oh my God, I'm tearing up right now.
Can you imagine if she had said, like, whatever her catchphrases were in the 70s. I don't remember specifically what they were, but I remember she had a ton of them. And even back then I was like, lame.
You must, I was in
green bell bottoms going lame. I mean, that is the height of irony, but anyway.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I think we remember it in our head differently, and if we actually watch it, we'd be like, oh, okay. Well, but you know, let us have our moment, damn it.
Yeah, but see, by the time I was seeing it was the 80s, and I was in hand-me-down clothes from my sister, who's like 12 years older than I am.
You saved that bitterness for your sister for another podcast. Bitterness for your hand-me-downs.
Green bell bottoms in 1983 or whatever time that was is not good.
Oh my God. So this thing right now, Wonder Woman, is sitting at one point had a 98 on the tomato meter, but now it's sitting at a 93. And it's in line with the audience score, which is 92. It has made 206. Is that million? Oh, crap. Yeah. That is million domestic.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Mm-hmm. I feel like I can't even read numbers, and that is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Worldwide, I mean, 436 million.
It did over 100 million opening weekend.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's nice. That is really nice.
Like, when I say everyone was excited about this movie. And this is the other thing that I love, you know, stepping away from the movie itself. The thing that I love the most is the fact that, you know, okay, of course, you know, we cover a lot of MCU on this podcast, and you know, everybody
look
knows
at her, that isn't that all... great? She went MCU. You know what that means, Stephanie?
No,
Marvel comic cinematic universe. Oh, cinematic universe. That is beautiful.
So we cover a lot of Marvel.
We're
on
treating
the show,
her like a damsel in distress right now because she's doing stuff in a female. I'm sorry. No, we're sorry. But, I'm sorry for being an asshole. Okay. I'm not being an asshole. No, I thought it was funny. It was legit funny.
I don't even know what's happening right now.
I have no idea.
I'm just a fan.
I'm just messing with Hanukkah.
I'm an Omni fan.
I'm just messing with Hanukkah.
Okay. But, you know, one of the things that I really like is, okay, yeah, of course, with this, everybody's going to go back to the old Marvel versus DC argument about which one is better, this, that, or other, blah, blah, blah.
Let people have
their
fun.
The thing that I liked about this film is that even the Marvel people were so open and so, you know, honest about how they felt about this film and what it, you know, as far as the significance of it and how great it is. And it was just, it was so nice seeing the love come from, like, quote unquote, competing, you know, franchises or whatever. It really is one of those films that everybody should be able to enjoy for the message, you know, and for what it stands for. And that's something that I really liked about it.
So what Hanukkah was saying is that Marvel just got beat up by a girl.
No, I'm not saying that.
I'm messing with you.
We got 10 years of great Marvel films in there. So I really don't want it to be a debate about which one is better, because they all have their, you know, they all have the attributes, and they all have good things about them. I mean, even, you know, even with as much as people talk about how dark the newer Superman films have been and how, you know, a lot of people don't like them, I actually have enjoyed them. Because for me, it's shown
a different
take. And then, of course, you know, with Henry Cavill as Superman, I'm just kind of biased. But
let me be stereotypical woman right now.
There are certain names.
Save me, baby.
that I will always be typical one. And I mean, it's all in good fun. But, you know, just even with Batman, Batman versus Superman, I enjoyed the film. You know, I enjoyed what the characters brought. I enjoyed being introduced to Wonder Woman the way that we were. I loved Ben Affleck's version of Batman. So there are great things about the films. It's just that I think, you know, this one here, Wonder Woman, I think this is the first one that kind of, it flowed with no issues.
Yeah,
you know?
It had that balance, and it didn't feel formulaic. I wasn't a huge fan of the last 15 minutes. Like, it was, to me, the last 15 minutes felt the most like intensely CGI Transformer time. Like, that's kind of
that's okay. I like that kind of thing. So I was like, yes, throw.
Well, no, but then she started looking cartoony, like Mr. Smith from the second Matrix films, and knew that it was CGI.
Here's why I'm bringing that up.
Okay.
I'm bringing that up because this movie could have easily gone down the path of pretty, sparkly things and, you know, sexy character or sexy actors portraying, you know, these roles. Sort of okay dialogue. Lots of boom, 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 boom. Like, it could have done that formula. And people would have been like, eh, it's all right. Meh, meh, meh. But instead, it had amazing dialogue. I laughed. I cried.
Yeah.
It had a believable storyline, which is hard to, like, are you kidding me? The premise of Wonder Woman is so over the top ridiculous that you're like, how am I buying this? Like, yes, I absolutely agree with
because
that.
Because the Germans and
Right.
So, and like, then we had the one woman who's the evil lady with the weird thing on her face. And I'm like, what's that about? Oh, fine. Whatever.
I know. So this was a believable plot. It was. I can't believe those words came out of my mouth, but they did. I could follow along just fine. I didn't need 40,000 boomy booms. Like, there was enough action in it for me. Lots of character building, which I always love, because I need my characters to go somewhere so that I can care about it when they die.
Because Stephanie writes fanfic.
Yes, totally. That's what. Oh,
really?
No, she doesn't.
Oh, okay.
Not. But now, I mean, Kat's making me reevaluate my whole career. Yeah, so that's what that movie could have been. And then, to me, the last 15 minutes were kind of hearkening the other DC movies that I've seen, where the last 15 minutes are the epic battle time, you know, and that always been okay and enjoyable for what it is. But I'm so happy that all of the rest of this movie happened before that, so that I could actually get something, I don't know, nutritional for my something that I could enjoy before I had my dessert, you know. That's
nutritional.
That's the best. It wasn't all eye candy.
Oh, Chris Pine had to die. Or is he?
I know.
Yeah, no, he's dead.
I don't know. I want to believe.
Oh my god.
He's dead. But from what I understand,
what?
His character will be in the second one if they do it, but I
don't even understand what you're talking about.
Flashbacks. I would assume.
I would hope so, man.
Yeah, I think he, I read something.
Because
if he comes back, he's like, "Hey guys, Zeus totally like had sex with a clay pot, and here I am."
Clay pot.
No, I think if they bring
the
character back, it will.
You know what I think? You know what I think? Because he went in a cloud of smoke, that Thor saved him. Yeah.
What? Yeah. Why would Thor say that?
Oh, right. So I'm crossing the universe. I'm crossing the streams. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We suck. Now we're being so stereotypical. Oh, my God. We're embarrassing. Whatever.
No, we can do this. We can do this. Guys do it all the time.
Thank you. Okay.
And look, and let's be honest. We do this all the time.
Yeah, like, that's true.
Nobody who's listening to this podcast is surprised that the stuff is coming out of our mouth.
Yeah, you're right. Unless there's like, oh, they're talking about Wonder Woman. Let's listen to them for the first time. And they're like, oh, no.
Well, here's my opinion on people like me who go to see these movies and haven't read the entire canon. Like, okay, so I haven't read the entire
canon.
That's
all of us here.
You still have to begrudge me liking something that you like and actually trying to branch out and having something to fucking talk about with you. Get over yourself immediately. That is what I have to say to people.
Where did this hostility come from?
Well, I have so many people who are like, well, no, I have to.
There's the Amazonian right there. She's good.
I just get tired of people having to grill me. For, you know, I'm like, yeah, I went to see this movie. I really liked it. Oh, really? Well,
do you know when the...
Oh, yeah, that typical, females aren't real comic book fan type, that blah, blah, blah. But, you know, like I said...
You know what? We don't know anybody like that, because all the guys on Sci-Fi Party Line are amazing, and they don't treat it
right.
That way.
Right.
Except for Bag of Noise Carl. No, I'm just kidding.
You mean Eric? No, I'm just joking. But no, I mean, and again, there's the funny meme. There was another funny meme that came out, because, of course, you know, like I said, there is that mindset out there that men think women can't be true geeks in the sense that they are, because, you know, for whatever reason. So there's a meme of someone, and they say, yeah, I'm going to be one of those females who walks up to a dude and, you know, asks, hey, what movie are you here to see? Oh, I'm coming to see Wonder Woman. Oh, yeah. So are you here with your girlfriend to watch it? You know? Yeah. That
heck
works.
Yeah. That's awesome.
You know he didn't have a girlfriend, child.
That's all I'm trying to say.
Oh, your girlfriend brought you.
Anybody can enjoy it. I never, ever, if somebody comes up to me and I'm a super huge fan of something and I can tell that they're just getting into it, or maybe they just saw it, you know, just for the heck of it and they don't ever plan to get immersed in the universe like I am, I never begrudge them that kind of joy of seeing that movie or reading that book.
That's no, this is what I do. I'm the opposite. I'm like, oh, you watch this one thing, you're gonna love everything else. Here, let me give you this. Here, let me give you that. Oh. And then they hate it because, like, I'm humping their leg and it's...
Make them a mixtape of all of the things, like, all your commentary is everything that you like. There's a mixtape for them to catch up on. Absolutely. That's what I do.
It's fun sharing that with people. Yeah, it is. You know, one of my girlfriends, she used to call me a fandom pusher. She said I was like a drug dealer. She said if anybody spends 5 minutes talking to you about anything, they're gonna watch just because they want to know what it is that you're so freaking excited about. And it's true. I think the only thing, when it comes to that kind of thing, the only thing that really bugs me is someone who, like, say, isn't as well-versed, but then they want to come and school me on something. Oh. Yeah, that's the only time that my feathers get ruffled. It's like, oh, hey, did you know such and such and such about Harry Potter? Oh, excuse me, hold up. Let's get something straight.
Well, maybe they don't know you yet, and then they just, like, you know, you got to give them a shot. Come on now. If they don't know you, and they be like, hey, did you know that Lily Potter was blurred?
Yeah, if it's somebody like that, not too much, but anybody who knows, like, I've had people who have followed me for years or who have been friends with me for years and know just how deeply immersed I am into that world.
Oh, we know, Hanako, Jesus.
And they still come to me and tell me, oh, yeah, I bet you didn't know such. I'm like, really? Really? Time out. Go sit in the corner. Like, really? You've known me for this long and you actually had the audacity to say
They was being cute. So I want to see more, like, so I don't know how, like, what would another Wonder Woman movie look like? Because I feel like we had everything. Like, can we go back to the mascara? Okay, that's the weirdest freaking name.
I know.
Do we go back there? We can't capture the innocence anymore. We've already had the origin story. Like, we don't have Robin Wright anymore, and that's a tragedy. Like, what would we do?
Oh, she's supposed to appear in the second one.
Girl, you need to stop talking, because you're talking about a bunch of dead people coming in a freaking film. I don't understand what you're talking. I'm not listening to you, Hanako.
It's more believable that she would come back because Zeus would have sex with the clay something, and then...
It'll either be flashbacks or maybe Diana will have visions, like, you know how it is.
Oh, Obi-Wan, some Obi-Wan shit.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, like, she'll imagine some of the stuff that that she taught her or something like that. I don't know.
The best part about her character development is that, you know, we know where she started and we know how innocent and naive to the human world she was, because she was isolated on this island, right? And she didn't even hit the tip of the iceberg insofar as her growth, you know, when it comes to the end of the movie. Like, she grew to be this powerful leading woman, but she has so much further to go. It's great. Like, I mean, the world is at her feet, really.
Right, and there's actually a lot we could learn about her, because, I mean, just given the time frame from when she met Steve and all of that happened, we've got, like, what, 80 years, 90 years?
Because I really enjoyed the mythology and her island. And, you know, Stephanie, what you say about Superman has started to sink in about how, like, she practically was an alien, and she disguised herself with some Clark Kent glasses. And yeah. I mean,
it was a nod to Superman,
right? You were right about that. And,
you know, they had that fish out of water,
fish out of water, splash, Tom Hanks type of alien, strange land, strange world, whatever you say that. And
To me, that was unexpected. I don't know what I was expecting when I walked. Well, actually, I do. I was expecting just immediate explosions and right into the action and lots of one-liners. I was expecting that kind of thing because that's what I always expect when I walk into
Watch Suicide Squad? Because that's what that was, right?
That's exactly what that was. And, you know, I was super excited to see that movie. And really? Then I left my hanging. I don't know. I just was really excited to see what they would do with it. And, oh my God, that hurt my heart so much. But this movie,
I still haven't seen it yet.
That fish out of water thing really worked. It really did. And it did so much for the plot moving forward. Mm. Just loved it. It was great.
She did such a service to that character. I mean, I don't, because I saw her in the Fast and the Furious, and that was the only other thing that I've seen her act in. And she was fine. You know, I liked her character, but I didn't know she had Wonder Woman in her. You know what I mean? I didn't know she had that.
That's the great thing, because when I first heard that she got cast, there were so many people who didn't like the casting, you know, as they generally do.
I liked her immediately.
Oh my God, there was so much hate. Oh, she's too skinny. She's not muscular enough. She's not tall enough. She's not American. I'm like, whatever made y'all think that Wonder Woman was American? Diana Prince was from from an island. I mean, but you know, there were so many people who said that. And I'm like, I was excited because even with what she did in Fast and Furious, I mean, that was her first major movie role.
Right.
Was as Giselle in Fast and Furious. And I loved her in that film. I thought, you know, again, she was this very, when you first see her on the screen, she's this very unassuming, you know, skinny little thing. And you just think she's just the pretty face and the bad guy. And then when she starts kicking butt, he's like, oh, okay. So when I heard she got cast as Wonder Woman, I was like, yes, I get to see what she's really made of.
Wonder Woman. Like, she looks Wonder Woman is perfect. Supposed to look. You know what I mean?
I was so glad. And when it was success, when the early reviews started coming out and the critics were even saying, oh, she was perfect, she embodies Wonder Woman, I was like, I really want all these haters to like just
you know what those haters really did? They either saying nothing because they didn't see it, or they keeping that crap to themselves because they know they're gonna get berated.
Right.
Or they're gonna come.
And you know what?
What?
I loved her accent. One of my biggest pet peeves is when movies make actors have different accents from their natural ones, and it's not even necessary.
Oh, right.
Kind of, it's just like, why would you even, why would you do that?
An amazing thing, because if she had to do a fake American accent, and then it would have been so weird, and it would have added that extra layer of awkwardness that we didn't. Mm-hmm. Oh, Stephanie, I didn't even realize you just pointed out something really major.
Oh my god, that was one of the things that early on people complained about, that she had a really thick accent and they wouldn't be able to understand it, and why is she American and all that. And I thought, that makes sense to me in this crazy premise story. It makes sense that she would have an accent.
That made it better. Right? Because it added to her otherness.
She was otherworldly, right? Yeah. And honestly, the fact that everybody else got to keep, for the most part, keep their accents, which is great to me, because not enough. There are too many actors and actresses out there who think they're good at doing an accent, and they are not. And it's super distracting. And it takes me out of the movie, like you said, Kat. But not
like
in this
Idris
movie.
Elba and freaking Prometheus trying to do a Southern American act. Oh, man, that was rough.
No, I would still have sex with him, but no!
You just spoke the heart and soul of every woman.
Yep. But see, in that sense, he would have to speak with his natural accent. I don't want to look. I live around Southern men all day. I want the British accent.
Bring it.
So yeah,
bring it. How did this become about Idris Elba?
Because she just happened. she just happened to mention them. But we do this with every podcast.
It all comes back to Idris Elba.
And we come back. So.
It should.
Oh my God.
Oh man.
Okay.
Love you guys.
I know. This is the
you
best.
Know, I was gonna say one of the other things that I kind of liked about the film as far as the characters. You know, we were talking about earlier, I kind of mentioned how, you know, a lot of the things that Diana was feeling is the way I feel like things should be in the world today. And one of the characters, one of the things that It was such a small thing, but it was something that stood out to me. When Diana met the rest of Steve's crew, and she met, what was his name? I think it was Big Chief, the Native American guy.
Mm-hmm.
When she was talking to him and they were kind of talking to each other, and he was giving her a little bit about his history and why he's there. And of course he said something about, you know, how people came in and stole his land and he really has nowhere to be. And she asked him, she said, "Who stole your land?" And he nodded to Steve and said, "His people." And that was, it was a very powerful statement, but also a very small one, because for me, it's like so many people, even in this day and age, 2017, people are so busy placing blame and focusing on what's happened in the past instead of trying to fix things and make things better for the future. Mm-hmm. And the fact that this character here, you know, his whole people were wiped out. You know what I'm saying? And still, because of his friendship with Steve, because he sees the type of person Steve is and trying to, you know, in trying to save the world and trying to stop this war, he's willing to do what he needs to do to help, even though it's not his war. To me, that says so much about human spirit, yeah. You know? And I don't know if anybody else picked up on that, but that was just that was a moment that did make me tear up in the film, because I felt like I said, you know, if we could have just a smidge of that today with people, instead of placing blame, and I'm mainly, of course, me being a Black woman talking about race relations between Black and whites, instead of focusing so much on the hate and what happened in the past. And, you know, yes, those are things we need to talk about. Those are things we shouldn't forget. But at the same time, instead of continuously sticking those daggers in ourselves and in each other, we need to find a way to heal and move forward. And I felt like that one little character with that one little statement, that was kind of what he was conveying. And that just, that really touched me, you know? In that
and
film,
then
it's like
that can speak larger, not only to race relations, gender relations, mm-hmm. and then you could take it far to sexual relations, as far as like people not accepting people who have different sexual orientations, and you could take it that simple kindness or that simple
right.
great human spirit and apply it to so many situations where people are being jerks. And, you know,
right.
and so that's a very good observation. I think because I was drinking, I may have been out when that happened, because I have no memory of it.
it was when they were sitting around the campfire.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
They were sitting around the campfire and they started talking. This was right before they went. If I'm not mistaken, this was the night before they went and the whole trench scene happened.
Mm. Man, that
so
seems,
yeah,
that's the one, isn't it, Stephanie?
I want to go see it again.
That's okay. That just means
too.
You have to go see it again, so you'll refresh your memory. But I don't think anybody
I absolutely
has an
need
issue
to see
with
it again.
Going to see it again. Yeah,
man.
Like I'm already looking like, okay, when is the DVD coming out, and what kind of special, what kind of extras are they going to have in this set? I mean,
you
that's kind of what.
DVDs?
Because, huh?
You buy physical DVDs?
Yes.
Weird.
No, I do, because especially like with Blu-rays, because they have all of it, like a lot of them, they'll do like They'll do director's commentary. They'll do interviews with the stars. They'll do like behind the scenes. They do deleted scenes. I'm one of those people. I love watching the deleted scenes.
I never
love
watch any of that.
Oh, yes.
I just like the movie and the extra stuff. Yeah, that's for everybody else. Whatever. Anyway, grumpy pants.
I'm into all of that.
I know. So let's see what else. So the secretary was really cool. I like that she to me, for a woman in that era, was very progressive and not judgy, right? Because she just went with everything, and she was smart. And I really liked her character. I liked that she wasn't typical size or typical anything. She was just very unique, very humorous. I like how she helped Diana navigate the day's fashion. I like the commentary on this is what women fight on. This is what your armor is. I like that Wonder Woman showed us a purpose for her, the gear that she wore. Because she is a warrior that uses movement, and she does not want to be hindered by a lot of things. She doesn't really
need... whole scene was hilarious.
Yeah, she doesn't need... She tells us what she needs or whatever. I like that the extreme fish out of water with the walking around in a 40s garb with a sword and a shield and some glasses. That was just, it was funny, and Chris played off of it, like Stephanie's talking about his timing, and it was just everybody was doing their job, and I really enjoyed what this whole movie did. I enjoyed that it was a female director. You can really tell because there was nuanced things in it that maybe a guy would not have had, and things that maybe guys may not have noticed, not to say that they, you know, don't have the intelligence to notice, but maybe some they just didn't notice. But and maybe they did, because there's a lot of smart guys out there. So but just the extra touch of a female director was nice, and I don't know if it made the whole movie feel extra thoughtful. But it
was. She put thought into the script.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if I imagined that or whatever, but it felt extra thoughtful, and there was care. And
it felt like a well-rounded story. That's what it felt like. It didn't feel one-sided or one-dimensional. It felt like inclusive, and it was pretty, and it was colorful, I thought. It was extremely cinematic, a lot of like sweeping just scenes that kind of were like, wow, this is incredible what I'm watching. My eyes are taking it all in. But it wasn't, I'm sorry, and I'm glad Eric's not here, it wasn't Transformers, which to me was like, to me Transformers is like Costco is to me in real life, where it's just like sensory overload. Please stop trying to interact with me. Please stop trying to run over me with your cart. Oh my god, I have to defend myself. What in this aisle can I use as a blunt object to hit someone with? Yeah, that's what it was. Like, Transformers to me is just too much all at once. And that's what Costco is to me. Transformers Costco. Holy hell.
I have to right myself.
So I think the director said she had to fight for the No Man's Land scene with the shield and stuff. Because I think originally some people did not get it and get what it meant. Because I'm not sure why they didn't get it.
They can't do metaphor.
I have no idea, but she did it, and eventually after people saw it, they got it, but she really had to fight for it, and I thought, I'm glad she did, because it was one of the most meaningful
probably the best scene in the movie,
honestly.
By far, and what it meant, you know, the fact that it did transcend.
Yeah, it had I would say, the least amount of action, but it spoke... It spoke volumes, you know. It was very that was where the shift happened. You know, that was where the change happened. That's where we heard the Wonder Woman theme for the first time. And that's where she grew into who she was supposed to be. So, yeah, I'm glad that they kept that as well.
Patty Jenkins.
Yes, Patty Jenkins.
Patty.
Yes, Wonder Woman. Jenkins. Yes, Wonder Woman. And the other. Oh, the. Nobody. Speaking of which, when I was talking about the other, you know, about the love that was being shown that way, I don't know if you guys saw the photos from the premiere, but Linda Carter, who I think everybody should know, was the 70s Wonder Woman. She's the Wonder Woman that we all grew up with. She was there, and they took pictures, and she has been so supportive of this film. And that just, like I said, it really makes that, it just makes me feel good, because it's like people are embracing it instead of it being a competition. You know, oh, this was a better Wonder Woman or whatever. You know, it's just like they all bring different things to their characters, and
it's
even
just a different flavor. It's a departure from the 70s show, which is fine. And Linda Carter is well loved. She is that role. But it's kind of like Richard Hatch embracing the new Battlestar Galactica.
He didn't at first. He did not.
I thought, what's
his
face?
Oh, no. I went to a freaking convention, and he was bad talking, and I was scared of him ever since, because he was a mean old man.
Yeah, she was until I told her about my experience with him at Dragon Con. And she was like, oh, I had a totally different experience. I was like, he was like one of the best celebrities that I've ever spoke, you know, had a conversation with at Dragon Con. He was, you know, so. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
I always thought that Richard Hatch was on board and Dirk Benedict wasn't.
Oh, no.
But in any case, there were a lot of people who love their Battlestar Galactica, their original one. And I'm so sorry about my puppy in the background chewing on
I was wondering, like, is somebody getting busy?
Is he chewing?
What's happening? He's chewing on Chewy.
What is squeaking?
Anyway. That's okay. But yeah, so I just love seeing the premiere photos, and everybody looked happy and everybody looked genuine. And, you know, Linda Carter, I mean, even on her Instagram and her social media, she has been promoting this movie, and she has been singing Gal Gadot's praises and Patty Jenkins' praises. And she, I mean, she's just been so showing so much love for this film. And I love it, because it's kind of like, it's like the old ushering the new. It's like she's ushering in the new generation, and there's no bitterness, and there's no, you know, I just love it. I love it.
I love to see that too. I felt like I've experienced that a little bit with passing the torch with Star Wars, but honestly, this felt more like.
And you know, the Batman did it too.
She had somewhere to go. So, you know, in the new Force Awakens movie, it felt like. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I can't control this part. In the Force Awakens movie, it felt like everybody was automatically amazing at what they did without any work or without any kind of getting used to it. But in this movie, it felt like there was a true handing of the torch from the other world of the 70s Wonder Woman to this now kind of more empowered. This is the next, this is the logical progression of her role and her place in pop culture. I just think that's really cool. It makes sense to me. And that's a really hard thing to do with that kind of premise. Just saying. It makes sense.
So Adrienne Pilecki for the Wonder Woman TV show in 2011, yes. She was nowhere around, was she, or no?
she's doing other stuff. And I have to say, I'm kind of glad that she didn't do the, I'm kind of glad that her TV show in that sense didn't take off, because she has done other, she's done other film and TV since then that I've absolutely loved her in. She, She was in
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
She was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. She, matter of fact, she's one of those characters that I'm like hoping they find some way to bring her back.
You know, I was bringing up her initially to make jokes about her, but about how terrible she was as Wonder Woman in 2011. However, as she grew on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I began to see how and why she was chose for Wonder Woman, because she started to show, I guess, via Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. what she had. And I felt like I regretted being so hard on her. She did not have a look. Her costume was ridiculous, and it just wasn't ready in 2011. But the actress herself, she's badass. So I'm sorry people gave her a hard time about it. It just wasn't her time, and I do think Gal Gadot is a better Wonder Woman in this instance.
Yeah, and little tidbit for you, Kat. She was Jessica on Supernatural. She was Sam's girlfriend in the very first episode. Uh-huh.
She was also in a very terrible film that I can't think of the name of, and I'm going to come up with it. That was very bad. It was my first experience with her, and she had to overcome that a lot. Oh, Legion. Okay, Legion. You remember that movie, Legion?
She was
pregnant.
Oh, yes,
in Legion.
She was. Okay.
You see Legion?
Is that the Will Smith one?
No, man. It's the one with Paul Bettany, and he was an angel.
Okay. I can stop you right there. No. Oh, absolutely. Okay.
Dennis Quaid was in it.
And
Tyrese was in it.
Shut me down.
But she's also been in Smallville. She did an episode of Smallville. She's the voice of Padme in Robot Chicken Star Wars episode.
Okay.
Yeah, so she's done Family Guy. She's done a couple of
Friday Night Lights. I've seen it. Wasn't she in G.I. Joe or something?
Yeah, she was Jay in G.I. Joe, the second one, I think. Retaliation. Yep.
But I'm sad that people gave her a hard time. I was one of those people, but I am not sad that this 2017 movie happened, and I am completely happy with it. There's nothing that I don't have any problems with it. Like, I didn't have to try to like it. It was instant love.
Yeah.
Oh, I am using her in.
I agree.
With love. There we go. All right. Calm down.
That was, honestly, that was way more successful than the use of love in Interstellar.
Would
love
you
built a bridge
it?
Across oh everything. Until me. Yeah, that was done immediately at that point.
Nobody was even talking about it.
Listen to me. When people bring the L word into movies, it's a landmine and it's a problem. But this didn't bug me. Wonder Woman love line did not bug me at all.
That was the only
Interstellar one, absolutely.
So any final thoughts, ladies?
Awesome, go see it if you haven't. Sorry to spoil you throughout the entire thing.
At the end you're sorry to...
if they're listening to the I'm pretty sure Kat is going to be very obvious when she posts this and says,
Carl, at the beginning of every episode, it's Carl says, spoilers are hit. Carl says it at the beginning of every episode.
Yes. Yeah, and now you have to put explicit because of the F-bomb that I dropped. Yeah.
When?
I think I dropped it a couple of times.
God, I must be immune to curse words. That's terrible.
I think you might be.
Okay, so Stephanie, you said final thoughts. Hanako, final thoughts.
I think Stephanie literally took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say it was an awesome movie, awesome cast. Great twist at the end, which I'm so glad we didn't say what it was. But Yeah, it was just a great movie all around. Like, I definitely would be going to see this again and again and yeah.
Again.
And again. Yes.
My final thought is it's one of those things where they did not ruin my childhood. In fact, they enhanced it. I feel like it's weird. It's just a piece of entertainment, but it just feels like something in my whole life has been complete. I'm glad I lived this long to see it. It was truly amazing. Yeah, fine. It's a lot of hype around it right now, and people are feeling really great about it. So it's not the best thing ever, but to me, it's my favorite film thus far of 2017. It really spoke to my soul. I really saw pieces of myself and pieces of people that I know, even pieces of the women that I know on this podcast in this film. And it was very refreshing to see. And I'm glad that we got to share our thoughts with you. And perhaps if you want to call in, you can share your thoughts with us. You can give us a call at 773-336-2686. We have a website you can leave your comments on, or you can just hit us at Twitter. You know, that's what usually people do. We have a Facebook discussion group. And, you know, thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
End of line.